Zion's glorious hope. And that's going to be the hymn we'll open with as well as close with. And then we're going to have Brother Harry Wildblood from the Muhammad Bible Students Ecclesia offer a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy and precious name, and hallowed be the name of thy dear Son, our Lord Jesus. Dear Father, we give thee thanks that we've had this wonderful day of convention to stimulate our pure minds, to bring us closer to thee. And now we ask thy special blessing upon all here as we go beyond the veil, as we look at the anchor of our soul and the glorious hope of Zion and blessing of all the families of the earth and our future work in association with our Lord, our Heavenly Father, and all the heavenly host. We ask a special blessing on our dear brother Ed as he directs our meeting, and we give thee all the thanks and praise through Jesus' most precious name. Now, dear brother, we're going to turn the meeting on over to our dear brother Ed from Muhammad Bible Students. And brother Ed, Thank you for dear brethren for opening our meeting up for us here. We are a small group, and as noted, this is a wonderful way to close out any day and to have an opportunity to sing praises unto our Lord. You all are probably, most here, aware that, you know, I don't come from a truth background in the sense that I had family or relatives that I learned the truth from my youth. And so in my late teens, we had come in contact with brethren Bible students on the West Coast. But over the years, we're always curious, though, as to the origin of some of the types of the meetings that the Bible students hold. And when we're asked to lead a meeting that was entitled a Vesper service, which is a new opportunity or experience for us, we did a little research on that, a little historical research to understand more of what would be the object of a Vesper service. Well, as we look into this historically, we were surprised to find that the first service that was called a Vesper is of Roman Catholic origin. But it was a meeting that was devoted to prayer and praise, held in the morning and evenings. This was done both in mornings and evenings. I didn't look much further on the history there. As we looked into Brother Russell's writings, and you look especially searching the towers and volumes and all, it's quite apparent that he nor any others of the Bible students in his day ever referred to any meeting as a Vesper. But regardless, though, of the origin of the name assigned to a meeting of this nature and how this name may have entered into the Bible student terminology, the meeting itself and its object is very scriptural. Very scriptural. This is a meeting that is of a devotional nature and not doctrinal, and therefore is a meeting that all can participate in equally. So we find in the Scriptures that without distinguishing between the sexes, all are admonished by the Apostle Paul through his letter to the Colossians to let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. That's in Colossians 3:16. And in his letter to the Ephesians, all are likewise admonished to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Ephesians 5:19. Based on these scriptures, the terminology that Brother Russell chose to use when referring to a meeting of this nature was most often called prayer and praise, and then sometimes prayer, praise, and testimony. So, dear brethren, we want to use this opportunity to unitedly lift our voices in prayer, praise, and testimony to our God for the glorious hope He has instilled in the prospective members of Spiritual Zion. Now, should we need any further encouragement to spend the end of this day in this manner, we can consider the sentiments of the psalmist expressed in Psalms 9, verses 11 to 14. Sing praises to the Lord, that's Jehovah, which dwelleth in Zion. Declare among the people his doings. When he maketh inquisition for blood, he remembereth them. He forgetteth not the cry of the humble. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. Consider my trouble, which I suffer, of them that hate me, thou that liftest me up from the gates of death, that I may show forth all thy praise in the gates of the daughter of Zion. I will rejoice in thy salvation. Now, as suggested in our opening hymn and the comments opening up here, the theme that we're going to use for tonight's service is Zion's glorious hope. Now, in the verses which we have just read from Psalms 9, we find much to support the thoughts contained in our opening hymn. Glorious things of thee are spoken, Zion, city of our God. He whose word cannot be broken formed thee for his own abode. On the rock of ages founded, naught can shake thy sure repose. With salvation's walls surrounded, thou shalt triumph o'er thy foes. We had wonderful consideration of the theme this morning from the theme discourse, and Brother Joe going over the scripture selected by the brethren here in Akron, which spoke of the New Jerusalem, And we will find, as you search and research this, that Brother Russell will use Zion also synonymously, and many of those lessons apply to Zion, the city of David. So, Zion, city of our God, this is where He dwells. It was formed for His own abode. Now, a city is brought out in our considerations earlier today, a government. Zion has a foundation. It has walls and gates within these walls where the daughters of Zion sing forth the praises of God. Are you of Zion? Are you awake and able to see the glory of Zion in the dawn of this millennial age? We should all be able to answer that yes. In that case, let us sing, therefore, respecting this very thought. Hymn 41, Awake from Thy Sadness. Hymn 41, Awake from Thy Sadness. Quite a privilege of ours, brethren, to have this knowledge, this understanding, be able to sing hymns like this. But this is a song, a hymn that the world of mankind will sing equally when they have this understanding that we have been privileged to receive at this time. Now, when we consider this great city, Zion, what is the foundation that we can presently rejoice in and sing praises unto our God about? The foundation without which there could be no city. Additionally, at this time, if any should fail to first see the foundation of God, which God has laid, there can be no hope of seeing the great city that in glory rises from this sure foundation. This is the first step. So what is the foundation? Just as noted in our hymn, it is the Rock of Ages, the ransom sacrifice of God's dear Son, our Redeemer. So we want to continue our songs of praise and sing of our Redeemer, hymn 132,
which is more individually titled My Redeemer. We sing of My Redeemer. Hymn 132. One day, countless billions of mankind will sing that hymn likewise, and the glory that will be brought to their view will be that of perfect humanity. And they will sing it for eternity. But so important is this foundation upon which all of God's plans and purposes are built. And considering the heavenly hope that it has brought to our view, we've asked Brother Joe to now take us to the throne of grace in prayer. remembering the great sacrifice of God's dear Son as our Redeemer, the foundation upon which all our hopes are built.
Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee in humble adoration and praise Thee, Thy great name, Thy wonderful character, Thy magnificent plan of the ages. We thank Thee, Father, for this foundation, doctrine of truth, the foundation of our hope, the foundation of our faith, the foundation of Thy plan, the ransom sacrifice of Thy Son. We thank Thee and praise Thee, Father, that we can come to Thee and call Thee Abba Father through the merit of our Lord's sacrifice. We love Thee as a child loves their own loving parent, and we know that Thou lovest us and hast shown Thy love toward us in this gift of Thy love, of Thy Son, to be not only our Redeemer, but the ransom for the entire world. We thank Thee again for this unspeakable gift, and join our hearts again in praising Thee, in and through the merit of Thy Son, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yes, dear brethren, continuing with our theme here, built upon this sure foundation, Zion shall in glory rise. Men shall call Thy walls salvation, and Thy gates shall be named praise. The redeemed of every nation shall with joy Thy glory see, and find rest from tribulation, hope and life and peace in Thee. The stanza of our hymn reminds us of Isaiah 60, which has a dual application to fleshly Israel and to spiritual Israel. We will consider only verses 14 through 18. Quoting, "The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord Jehovah, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated, so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles, and shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. For brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise." This is what that verse was built upon in Isaiah 60. We are also reminded of Isaiah 35, which concludes, "And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." What a wonderful blessing waits the world of mankind following the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion, so graphically described in Isaiah 34. We've asked Sister Gail to read all of Isaiah 34 for us at this time. Isaiah 35, verses 1 to 10.
"The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Thank you, Sister Gail. When we consider this in its entirety, we have brought to our attention the blessings that triumphant Zion shall be privileged to lavish upon the redeemed world of mankind. With that in mind, let us sing hymn 310, Triumphant Zion. Hymn 310, Triumphant Zion. Just as in the case of our considerations of this new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, so with Zion. What's the object here? To bless all the families of the earth. And so our hymn describes, continues to describe those blessings. Then the streams of living waters, springing from eternal love, will supply thy sons and daughters, and all fear of want remove. Who need faint while such a river ever flows their thirst to assuage? Grace, which like the Lord the giver, never fails from age to age. That applies to the world of mankind. But who brings these blessings to them? They pour forth from Zion as streams of living waters. Here we are reminded of another illustration of these restitution blessings that pour forth upon the sons and daughters of the glorious spiritual Zion. Zechariah 14, verse 8 mentions these living waters. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and in winter shall it be. In Revelation 22, verses 1 to 3, we have the same living waters described with some additional details. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. This river of life proceeds out of the throne, in the midst of the street of it, and we have the tree of life on either side. The most graphic illustration of this river proceeding forth from the throne of God and the Lamb we find in Ezekiel 47. We would ask Brother Bob Luker, if he would read Ezekiel 47, 1 to 12 for us at this time.
Afterward he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without, unto the utter gate, by the way that looketh eastward. And behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. And he measured 1,000, and brought me through the waters. And the waters were to the knees. Again he measured 1,000, and brought me through. The waters were to the loins. Afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. Then said he unto me, These waters issue out toward the east country, and go down into the desert, and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that every living thing that liveth, which moveth whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither, for they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from En-Gedi even unto En-Eglaim. They shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. But the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Like the one who wrote this hymn, we can ask, who need faint while such a river ever flows their thirst to assuage? Could there be any greater graphical illustration of how extensive this river shall be and the healing effect it shall have upon the world of mankind? Grace, which like the Lord the giver, never fails from age to age. We've been healed. They're going to receive the same healing blessings, but we will be privileged as spiritual Zion to be that source which will bring those blessings to the world of mankind. We will bring rest to the weary. They're groaning and travailing in pain, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Let's sing hymn 270, Rest for the Weary. Hymn 270.
Rest and labor and hate and rest.
Brother Keith probably wouldn't mind if we personally updated this hymn, just beyond the trouble, right? And the trouble that has been upon this world of mankind has been great, as was demonstrated for us today. And the rest for them is but a little ways off. Actually, just the lifetime of each of these new creatures. We don't know when the last will finish their course, but for each of us, we will enter fully into that rest when we finish our course and begin to be able to bless mankind from the other side. But their rest awaits them, and we look for and are happy to share this wonderful message to any that might have a hearing ear, those who mourn, those who are sorrowful now, to give them comfort, give them ashes of joy for their mourning. But when we consider the application of this lesson to us, and we consider this opportunity to sing praise unto our God, we think about the great privilege that the spiritual Zion shall have, the New Jerusalem, and all these blessings that will come to the world of mankind. The fourth stanza of our hymn poses this question to that very class who is running for this prize and the privilege of blessing the world of mankind. Who would faint while such a prospect urges on to faithfulness? Though thy present mournful aspect seem no cause for thankfulness. Look not at the things beside thee. Those behind thee have no worth. Let the glorious hope before thee fill thy heart with rapturous mirth. We were reminded of 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 to 18. Wherefore we faint not, but though our outward man is decaying, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is for the moment, worketh for us a more and more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. That glorious city, all of these graphic illustrations that the Lord has given us of the blessings that will pour forth the world of mankind, fulfilling the Abrahamic promise to bless all the families of the earth. What is it, brethren, that motivates you today? That motivates us in this narrow way of sacrifice? Is it the personal receipt of a great reward, honor, glory, and immortality? Or will it be the great privilege of extending these blessings that God has prepared for the world of mankind, the greatest work the new creation will ever have beyond the veil? We know not of the ages to come, wherein dwelleth righteousness. But what could compare to resurrecting billions of mankind and rewriting the law of God in their hearts, so that they too can stand before great Jehovah and be worthy of everlasting life? Could creating a being fresh with the perfect righteousness and thus instructing him regarding the sinfulness of sin so that he might be worthy of eternal life compare to that? This will be a great work. And God has given us the privilege of joining his Son to accomplish that work. This comes to our testimony feature of our meeting tonight, where we asked that for some, if they would like to write down and share with me an experience where this glorious prospect of blessing all the families of the earth strengthened you, encouraged you, and generally helped you to succeed in the experience by the Lord's grace. Well, I received two handwritten ones, independent of one another, and they both were the same experience. Brother Harry and Sister Karen. Brother Harry had the privilege of encouraging Sister Karen with Isaiah 35, because the experience was primarily hers. It was theirs both. But together, they succeeded in this. And we've asked Sister Karen if she would share that testimony.
Thank you, Brother Ed, for the opportunity. Years ago, my mom had Alzheimer's disease and had it for many years. And finally, after living with Brother Harry and I for a while, we finally needed to place her in a nursing home because she had gotten that bad. And day in and day out, we'd go see her. And she's actually was in an Alzheimer wing and also in the regular nursing home. And it was really very, very sad for me. We're all close to our parents, but it was particularly hard to see how this disease had ravaged my mom in both her physical body and her mental capabilities. And one day I was on my way to the nursing home, and I got to the parking lot and I couldn't go in. It was just overwhelmed with sadness that day. I just couldn't face seeing her or facing the other residents there, because not only do you go in and you see your own loved one, but you see everybody else that are in various degrees of degradation. And so I called Brother Harry, and he my little angel was there to help me with respect to giving me encouragement and helping me in the sense that he said, well, we've got to think of her in the way that she's going to be in the future, in the kingdom. And he asked me to read the Isaiah 35, 1 through 10. And I did that. And it just made all the difference in the world. I was able to, I sat in the car and I thought about my mom, and I thought about the others there, and I had to visualize a picture of, I was thinking about my mom in particular, about when I knew her, when she was the most vibrant and the most alive, et cetera, and thinking that she's going to be this and even more in the kingdom. And then went through all these different ones that I've gotten to know real well in the nursing home, and thinking about them too, about how they would be in the kingdom possibly. And it helped. I mean, I was able to go in there and I was able to keep those images before my mind. And from then on out, I used this, I really appreciated this counsel from Brother Harry, and I was able to use this every time I go. I'd sit in the parking lot before I'd walk in, and that's what I would do. I'd go through this in my mind about what they will be like in the kingdom, and that those refreshed images, that's what it was, helped me to be able to get through this experience, and also for the remainder of her time at the nursing home, and then also, for future experiences too. And that, as Brother Harry says, that we must always keep the future in memory. And I really appreciate that. It was a sad time, but it's really when faith is expressed is when you can really reach beyond that to hold on to what the kingdom has in store for the world and mankind.
Thank you, Sister Karen. We hope, dear brethren, that Lord's providence, these considerations, given our time of where we're at here this evening and our schedule, will bring things to a close, but just the opportunity to reflect on the great privilege that we have and how God has chosen to illustrate the Christ head and body in the use of a city in both New Jerusalem and Zion, and all these other graphic illustrations of the blessings that are going to pour forth from that spiritual class to the world of mankind, it may seem like a short work compared to eternity, but truly do believe, brethren, in my heart of hearts, it will be our greatest work. And it should motivate us, stand as a great reason for performing the sacrifice that we have vowed to lay down our lives, and to do so with zeal, and thus give praise to God, be able to praise Him and give honor to Him throughout all eternity from the highest plane of existence. What a great privilege that will be. What songs we will sing, if faithful. We'll turn the meeting back over to you, Brother Jim.